Good morning, everybody.
We have to do this, so let's crack on. I'm going to try and do this very quickly because I've got a lot to say. And I'm actually going to start with the thank yous. First of all, get these out of the way. So I want to thank the Kirk Session for all their support. I've been doing this job for 6 years now, and without the support and the help and the assistance and the encouragement of the Kirk Session and the finance team, it would be more difficult than it is. So thank you so much to all of you. The finance team is Colin, Fee, and Janice. So thank you so much to everybody. I've had another member of the finance team as well. God, he is the most important member of the finance team because he makes everything happen. You know, he's the one that supplies what we need. I also want to thank a few other people. Mary, sitting up there from the Community Recycling. She's been such a great help trying to get Community Recycling funds into the accounts this year. Also, Andrew Dawn from the Food Bank, who takes care of the Food Bank finances. And, of course, my wife is, she's such a great support and encouragement as well. And thank you, too, for all your support, for all your giving, and for all your donations. And finally, I want to thank Brenda. If you've been here long enough, you'll know that Brenda was the treasurer before I was, and she did that for many, many years. And when I took over, Brenda stayed on the finance team and was a great help to me for the first couple of years particularly. And even now, she's still involved in some ways. She goes to the bank every week to pick up the night safe pouch that we use on a Sunday. She's always at the bank making sure that we've got enough money bags and things. So I just want to honour Brenda and thank you for all the hard work that you've given. Let's go on to the accounts. Now, this year, the accounts that you've got in front of you include the food bank, they include community recycling, they include Toot for Fruit, and we've just given you a one-page summary. But if you want to see the full report, which is about 12 pages long, it's actually on the website, the church website. If you go onto the homepage, click on About, and then Annual Reports, you'll see it in there. I mean, it is a long read, but if you want to find out more, then please go and have a look. So let's have a look, first of all, at Community Recycling. They've taken in £15,622 last year and given out £12,657, and I've listed some of the grants that they've given out this year on there, so you can have a quick look. They're all listed in the report if you want to go and have a look. The food bank income, there's some grants and some donations that are in there. You can see all the figures there. And if you look, there's a big gap between income and expenditure for last year. And what food bank have found is it's actually becoming more difficult to get funding for salaries and core costs. And if you want funding, you've actually got to extend what you're doing and move into new projects to get funding for that. So Janice's workload has gone up so much in the last year. And I've put a picture of Janice up there just to remind me, because Kirk Session have asked me to give a special mention to Janice for all her hard work and say a big thank you. I personally have been getting more involved with the food bank in the last couple of months, and the amount of work that Janice gets through is phenomenal. You guys don't see what she does. You think the food bank is all about giving out, emergency food parcels and things, but it's so much more involved. I went to a workshop recently, and there was a lady from another organization in Midlothian, and we all had to say who we were and where we were from. And afterwards, this lady came up to me and said, "You work with Janice." Janice has got so well known because of all the work that she's done. It's incredible what she does. So that's food bank. I have to say, though, that this year, things have got a wee bit easier. We do have some other funding that's coming in. So I think we're pretty much covered for the rest of the year with funding that's already been granted and agreed. But we are looking for more. Toot for Fruit, there's a van there. I don't know if you've seen the van. You sometimes see it here on a Tuesday. That goes around the whole of Midlothian and early years places, taking fresh fruit and vegetables at reasonable prices. And this is something that the food bank has taken over in the last year at the request of NHS Lothian. And that itself is a measure of how much the food bank and the work that is done here is respected amongst the social community in Midlothian. So there's the figures for that. So let's come to the church, the core church activities. Our core offerings, which is standing orders, gift aid, offerings on a Sunday, it is up by 1.4%. But look at the next bit. Youth minister donations up 55%. I stood here last year during the annual meeting last year, and I talked about Ross and how we fund Ross, and I asked you guys to consider giving some more to Ross, and you guys have responded fantastically. Some of it is a wee bit of the existing giving that's been diverted into Ross, but most of that is new giving. So thank you so much for that. 55% is an incredible result. Haulettes are up 15.4%. If you come here any day of the week, there's always somebody in. And it's just incredible the way it's being used. And the hall redevelopment is actually going to make that even better and actually free up more space so we can have more people in. So total income is up by 1.8%. And if you remember back to September, we had a big deficit, about 6,000. Well, thanks to you guys, it's gone down to £488 at the end of the year. And actually, we would have had a surplus, but HMRC decided to put a stop on our gift aid claim in December so they could do a spot check. So instead of getting it in the middle of December, we got it on the 5th of January. So if it had come in time, we would have had a wee surplus. Now, this is my motto. When I first became a treasurer about 6 years ago, a few months after that, God dropped this into my mind, resourcing people, resourcing ministries. And that's what, that's why I do this job. It's about people. It's about ministries. It's about making sure that people and ministries have all the resources that they need to do what God wants them to do. So how have we managed it this year? Well, first on the list is obviously Mark, the stipend, the cost of employing Mark. And the M&M is money that we have to give to 1-to-1 for running costs and some of the other ministries that happen nationally from the Church of Scotland. So their salaries, youth salary, is a big chunk of that for Ross, and other salaries are the admin salary and the cleaners as well. Obviously property, manse and church costs as well. And now if you look at that, that's taken us about 80% of the way around the circle. So 80% of our costs are all to do with salaries and property. And it doesn't actually leave a lot for the rest of the ministries like Sunday Club and youth and creche and pastoral care, all that sort of thing. There's not a lot left. There it is there, all these wee bits and pieces that make up the circle. So, the budget. And I'm trying to go through this pretty quickly. There's not actually much change from the budget from 2016, apart from a few things. And the first thing is that our salary costs have increased this year because if you're employed, you've probably heard of auto-enrollment pensions thing. Well, we have had to go through that this year. So from the 1st of January, we have to pay pensions for all of our staff who are eligible. So our salary bill has gone up a wee bit. Also, if you look about two-thirds of the way down the first page, first column, there's something called Bibleland sponsorship. We used to sponsor a child and sponsor a nurse through an organization which is now called Embrace, which works in the Middle East. And that's finished. The child has left school. So we have decided as a Kirk session we're not going to support this organization anymore because none of us have any contact with them. We have no involvement. So what we've done instead is we have decided that all the money that you give on lunches day is going to be given out to some kind of organization, missionary or charity work. And so far this year, we've given money to Christian Heritage. We've also given money to Go. And that's over £200 already this year, which is more than half of what we gave for the whole year for Embrace. So, you know, you guys have been generous again. And the last thing on the budget is about two-thirds of the way down. The second column, it just says new church employee. Alistair's already spoken about that. But we have calculated that if we employ somebody from the 1st of June, it's going to cost about £12,000 for this year. So it's a lot of money. The budget, without that extra employee, the budget is about 2% more than last year, which isn't a great deal. But it is dependent on you guys, on the funding coming in. And like Alistair talked about, vision-led budget, you know, what we do is at the beginning of the year is we say, what's the vision? And then we work out the budget from that. And, you know, God honours that because it's putting him first and not money. So, back to my motto, resourcing people. Resourcing ministries. I've been doing these slides for about the last week or so, and when I went to bed on Friday night, I thought I'd just about got there. But when I went to bed, I couldn't sleep because, you know, I found myself standing here doing this presentation, and then as I was speaking, I'm thinking, it's not right. And then I realized the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, and you know, he was changing the whole thing around. And so I actually had to get up at 3 o'clock on Saturday morning because I was wide awake. And I knew the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. So I had to get up and I had to reorganize all these slides. And then I started to write down some of the things that he spoke to me about. And the Kirk session asked me to speak about giving, but I'm going to just tell you what the Holy Spirit showed me on 3 o'clock Saturday morning when I was wide awake. Actually more awake than I normally am during the day. Anyway, so maybe this is not new to you. You've probably heard all this before, maybe, but you know, I'm just going to share with you what God showed me on Saturday. And I looked at the early church. I knew that it was never meant to be a holy huddle. It was never meant to be just about people getting into heaven or even just about people coming to worship together. And obviously that is a big priority, but when I looked into the early church, it was so much more. Because if you look at the end of Acts chapter 2 and also into Acts chapter 4, it talks about, and this is the very early church. This is Acts chapter 2 was when the church was born. And this is the very early church, right in the early days. It talked about them selling their possessions and giving money to the poor. Does that sound familiar to you? The very first version of the community recycling project, right back in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 6 goes on to tell us that the church became so big that the apostles decided that it was time for them to concentrate on preaching the gospel. So they appointed 7 men to look after the daily distribution of food to the widows. Does that sound familiar? The very first version of the food bank. And one of the 7 men, well, he was a man called Stephen, who it says was full of God's grace and power and performed amazing miracles and signs among the people. And I'm sitting thinking about this and, you know, just looking at us and, you know, generosity and giving was part of the early church right from the very beginning. And Acts 6 goes on to say that the gospel continued to spread and the number of believers greatly increased. And it advanced through 2 pillars, the preaching of the gospel and the social action that the church undertook. And both of these were accompanied by signs and wonders and miracles. Imagine if somebody came to the food bank, the community recycling, looking for a bargain and went home this with something that cost them nothing, the free gift of life in Jesus. Imagine if somebody came to the food bank looking for food and went away with the bread of life. You know, these things are possible, and that's why we do these things as well. And as I looked, as I thought about these things, I kind of had a picture of you guys. And I know Alistair's talked about some of the things that the session have on their hit list for the next few years. And I saw you guys getting involved. Some of you new Christians, as you get discipled, and as you grow as Christians, you'll get involved in these ministries. And so this motto that I have becomes more and more important, because there are going to be more and more people needing to be resourced. There are going to be more and more ministries needing to be resourced. And you know, I know that resourcing people and resourcing ministries is not all just about money. It's about discipleship. It's about training. It's about teaching, encouragement, and equipping for the task. But because I'm the treasurer, I kind of focus on the money side. See, generosity and giving started in the early church, and it was actually taken with the gospel and taken to all the churches as it expanded through the Roman Empire. And this is Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He says, "Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. So we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving." And you know, as I read that, there's two passages that leapt out of. And the first one says, their first action was to give themselves to the Lord. Their giving heart, their generosity, was the result of their commitment to Jesus. They gave out of love, not out of duty, not because it was the right thing to do, not because Paul, or in our case me, was continually hounding them to give, but because they loved Jesus. And it says, the other passage there, they begged us again and again. When I read this, I was thinking back to when I was a child, you know, playing football or rounders in the local park. And when it came time to pick the teams, you know, everybody, all the little boys and girls were standing, me, pick me. You know, there was that enthusiasm, that desperation to be part of the team. And we saw it here earlier today when Mark asked for volunteers. They're all, you know, all the wee ones are sitting there, me. See, there's that eagerness, that desperation to give. And imagine if I put an offering plate here and say, okay, let's give. And there was a mad scramble to be the first to put their money in. It's that kind of attitude. It's that kind of heart attitude that people want to give. I have a friend, I had a friend, she's dead now, who came to church, an old lady who was retired. And, you know, she came and she wasn't really that well educated and she couldn't read very well, but the Holy Spirit taught her to read because she read her Bible. You know, and the more she read her Bible, the more the Holy Spirit taught her to read. But she had a giving heart. And, you know, for a while, what she used to do was every Saturday she would go and buy a lottery ticket. Now, I'm not suggesting you do this, but she would also pray that God would make that ticket a winning ticket. And she didn't want the money for herself. She wanted to give it to the church. And, of course, she never, ever won, because that's not God's way. And you've got as much chance of winning the lottery as there is of me bungee jumping off the new Queen's Ferry crossing. It's just not going to happen. Our heart was in the right place, but obviously, you know, that's not God's way. Right, here's another scripture, moving quickly on. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, it says, on the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you earned. And that's from the New Living Translation. And I like that translation because it says exactly what, you know, Kirk Session has asked me to convey to you about percentage giving or proportional giving. In the Old Testament, it was 10%. You know, I know that, you know, for many people, 10% is just a bit too much, but, you know, I would encourage you to look at your giving and, you know, take a percentage of your salary and make sure you put that in. And when you get a salary increase, up your percentage as well. Not just put in a donation or something that you think that you can afford, but actually tie it to your income. And you'll find it does make a difference. I have another friend who told me his story, and he said that when he went to work, he worked in an office, and in one of his appraisals, his boss said, "Well, you're not going to rise very far in this organization." And, you know, he took that on board at the time, but sometime later, he felt God was challenging to tithe and to give 10%. And he made a deal with God. He said, "Okay, every time I get an increase, a salary increase, or I get a promotion, I'm going to give you half of that increase, of that promotion." And he did that. And actually what happened is he rose much further in the organization than was predicted at the time of that appraisal. So God honored his commitment. God honored him and, you know, just prospered him in his work to the point where he was actually given 10%. So, you know, I would just encourage you to pray and to agree with God what is the right proportion for you. And I'm just about there. I keep coming back to this because this is, you know, like I said, this is the reason. But in the last couple of months, the Holy Spirit has been stirring up this motto in me. But I'm kind of seeing it in a different light. You know, like I said, there's so much more to this than just giving money. It's about training and discipling and equipping and giving people the tools to do the job. And there are so many people that are doing that part of it already. But as I said, I'm looking at the money side. And I see, you know, I have a new passion. God's given me a new passion to see people and ministries resourced to take the good news of Jesus, not just to Gorebridge, but to the ends of the earth, and to bring the good news of the kingdom here, now. It's happening already with our existing ministries, and, you know, we've got things like Peter, Andrew and the team going out to Love Russia this summer. That's all part of it. But, you know, as I was writing these notes, I saw an increase in the number of people God is calling into these and into new ministries. And my challenge to you this morning is, will you pray? Will you take a fresh look at your giving? And will you help me do this? Amen.